I would like to convene this meeting of the Customer Service and Operations Committee. I would ask for an approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Approval of the minutes.
Approval of approval.
Mr. Downey has moved approval. Mr. Barnes has seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? First action item is the approval of the proposed agreement to enhance bus service between West Falls Church and the Mark Center.
Mr. Chairman, Jack Rico, Assistant General Manager for Bus, and Jim Hamry, who worked with the DOD to put this presentation together and the agreement with them. We're here today to ask the board, the committee and the board to authorize the general manager to execute an agreement with the Department of Defense for additional bus services and also a prepaid fare program on all 28 line services in Fairfax County. As you're aware, DOD has a lot of responsibilities to try to improve traffic and improve parking for their Mark Center services. They realize that West Falls Church is a major source of employees wanting to get to the Mark Center. They've asked us to consider additional service along the 28 line corridor on Route 7. We talked to Fairfax County. We worked with the Department of Defense, and the recommendation is that we add services and equipment in the peak hours to add additional services that would be fully subsidized by the Department of Defense, also would be available to the public to also use these additional services, so we see it as benefits to our customers from West Falls Church down to the Mark Center. And the interest in the Department of Defense is significant from the standpoint that they're willing not only to subsidize the operation of the equipment, operation of the services, that they're also willing to provide capital dollars for our capital account to purchase additional buses to provide this service. So based on these recommendations and in development of an agreement, this is a fully reimbursable project with the Department of Defense. We would ask for committee approval for the general manager to sign the agreement and to allow for the prepaid program so that the DOD employees can ride on their passes without paying the actual fare, which would be then subsidized by the Department of Defense.
Mr. Chair, I move we approve the recommendation and resolution.
Motion made. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Comment?
Yeah, comment. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jack, is the Department of Defense requiring any additional analysis over a period of time to see how the performance of this change worked or didn't work? Is there an analysis requirement?
We provide monthly reports to them. You know, we have projected what the ridership will be, what the cost will be, and the subsidy will be, and we've set that up, and then on a monthly basis, those numbers are updated, provided to the Department of Defense, and, you know, are part of the agreement.
Is it a year agreement or a month-to-month agreement?
It's an ongoing agreement. I mean, it's is there a termination?
There's not a termination.
There's no intended termination date.
Could the board get a performance report, like after a year's period of time on this?
Oh, we'd be happy to provide that. Sure.
Mm-hmm. That's all, Mr. Chairman.
Any other comments, Mr. Downey?
Have we vetted the question of whether this meets all the federal requirements vis-a-vis charter service and the like?
Yes, it's not. It's regular line service. It's
regular
not dedicated
line, right.
To
so
the.
Just now we're collecting a fare from the big customer who is going to pay for
right.
His employees.
They're essentially, because they're a federal agency, yep. We can contract for a non-regional service as we would a jurisdiction.
Any other?
Right. Yes, anyone can ride the service. It's open to the general public.
Any other comments? Would only make a comment that I want to congratulate the Department of Defense and the Department of the Army for coming to their senses about a finding that there was no significant traffic impact for the opening of the Mark Center. hearing no further comment, would ask for a vote of approval.
Aye.
All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Those opposed? Hearing none. The motion passes. The second item is the review of the rail service adjustments for state of good repair for the next 6 months.
Good morning, Mr. Downs.
Good morning.
Dave Kubicek. Basically, what we're doing is kind of what we follow up from what we did last year in the January-February time frame. We started posting out information, looking out on the type of work and activity that we were going to be conducting over the calendar year. Next page, please. This, again, just gives you a list of projects and stuff of and activity areas of what's taking place, focusing the overall capital program, neutral host, and then also our elevator, escalator, you know, focus work as well. Next slide, please. Again, the benefits is basically is constant effort for state of good repair and overall just addressing to improve the quality of service as well as a constant emphasis on, you know, safety and also addressing the NTSB recommendations. Next slide, please. Customer outreach, always like to kind of keep this into the loop on this effort because there is a lot of different media outlets and venues which we try to take advantage of. So, you know, newspapers, you know, websites, all types of different meetings and stuff. So we just wanted to make sure that that focus and that listing of opportunities on how we communicate to our customers is noted in this presentation. Next slide, please. Single tracking. Basically, that's one of the more complex areas for us as far as, you know, forecasting. When you look into this, the appendix, what we did in the appendix is we broke it down into four sections. We broke it down into single tracking, we broke it down into elevator work, we broke it down into escalator work, and then we broke it down into total shutdowns. You'll see that the single tracking, we only went out to about the first part of March or so because there's a lot of variables and day-to-day maintenance and stuff that sometimes we have to adjust. The elevators and escalators and then the major shutdowns, we were able to get out, you know, to June or some of the other areas out to the actually to out towards the end of the year. And as you're seeing on our capital program and our project with our forecasting and stuff, this year we're going out a little bit farther than what we did the past year in certain areas. And so more than likely in some of our capital briefings and some of our other areas, we'll be coming back to y'all to give you probably more of a detailed view, you know, looking out as far as we possibly can, that we feel that we're very consistent on our targeting of our work and where we're going to be working with. It was also brought out, and as we've seen, we're starting to get feedback from the local regions and stuff as well about making sure that we communicate now with the JCC and other venues so that way when we look at all the events that happen throughout the region from Verizon Center to baseball games to, you know, just different community events and stuff that happen in areas that we didn't even really target or even think about, there is an increased communication. So this is also very important information for us to continue to post and to discuss on a regular basis. And that will conclude my presentation. I'll be open for any questions.
Question, Mr. Giancola?
Yeah, a couple of questions. We've been working on the fiber optic installation for some time. What percent are we done with that now? I mean, what's the projected end date on completing all the fiber optic installations for us?
I believe we're about 45% complete. We are looking to bring more stuff online. We're working with the phone companies that are in a consortium to refine their schedule for completion.
Thank you. Related to the schedule, I appreciate getting all the information about the outages. I think it's very useful information for our writing public. I think it would be also nice to know from a board point of view of how we're doing after periods of time. In other words, after first month or second month, are we meeting our schedule? Are we finding any glitches? Do we have to reschedule stuff just to get some sense of how we're operating it? And third, the third concern I have, particularly with regard to the upcoming closure of the DuPont Circle South station, I want to reemphasize the importance of advertising that outage. But also, I read somewhere, and it may have been one of the blogs, the fact that it may be more advantageous for folks to get off at Farragut North and walk up that way rather than go to the other side of DuPont Circle Station. And I think I really would encourage us really promoting that option if, in fact, we can show walking times and things like that and then putting that online as well as in public announcements. I think that would be helpful to folks, particularly Mr. Barnes. You may have to figure out how he's going to get to his office.
Okay, well.
I've been thinking about using that option.
Yes, we that is part of our, you know, communication initiative, and we're getting ready to ramp up quite aggressively. Other thing that we'd also committed to working with the district is we're targeting probably the next to the last weekend of January to actually do like a physical walkthrough, and then also start getting the other partners and stuff there prior to, so it gives us a little bit more prep time. And yes, we are extremely sensitive to Farragut North activities on a regular basis.
Mr. Denning.
Just an observation. We've always talked about our constrained environment, two tracks only, and how we get work scheduled. Just noting that this week the New York City subway system announced that once a quarter for four nights they will be shutting down the Lexington Avenue subway and doing the same on other lines, because it's the only way they can get the work done that needs to get done. So even the place that never sleeps will be taking advantage of nighttime to get work done.
Well, we've been monitoring those announcements, and we've gotten called from a lot of other transit agencies that have been asking us, and it's everybody's faced with it. It's very difficult.
I noticed that single tracking operation schedule goes until the 1st of March. When will you plan on updating the single tracking schedule for the next, say, 2 or 3 months?
Right now, what we have readily available, we go out about 8 to 10 weeks, you know, on a regular basis, and we can look at posting it on the intranet, or we can start getting it broadcasting it more on a regular basis. So what we have a rolling schedule that probably goes out 6 months or so, but it hasn't had the stability that we've seen with elevator, escalator, and some of the number or major outages. But we can, 1 week drops off, we can roll another one. But we're trying to target about 10 to 12 weeks on a regular basis, that it just keeps marching forward on that there.
I also noticed that the board book does not have the projected schedule for the weekend closures. I did see the schedule, but at least mine does not.
For total shutdown, sir?
Oh, I'm sorry, total shutdowns. The same question about the next schedule of release of information. I know that it's a large-scale effort to get it to, in effect, the 1st of July. Beyond that, I think it's important to have some kind of time frame for people to expect to be able to see what happens after the 1st of July.
Yes, sir. Right now, our main focus is on the guarded number 8 NTSBs, which is, right now we're 100% on schedule. And if you note in this outage, June will be a huge milestone for the organization, because we will have effectively replaced every guarded mainline number 8. And now, as we're transitioning, as we all see the activity of the work for the train control module starting to pick up, we're doing a little bit of that outages, but that'll be the next push for us to get out even farther, as well as with the orange-blue line information as well. So I expect within the next 30 to 60 days that we'll be able to push this thing out for the rest of the year is what we're targeting.
Thank you. So can I make one other point about the PID system when you're single tracking during the course of the day? My experience has been, and several others have made the comment, the PID system collapses, as does the online rail information network. I guess train control has a hard time processing what's actually happening. If you're in the station and you're single tracking, you get two or three notices that says just train and no time frame. And in several instances, it says train is boarding, there's no train. It's a frustration about trying to manage in that environment for the customer. I don't know if there is a way to provide some degree, better degree, of information for the customers when you're single tracking.
The system, as y'all know, is old and it's very slow. We have been looking at whenever they – not going into too much technical detail. You pretty much have set it from point A to point B, and that's the way the system does. If you have to do any adjustments midstream, it takes a long time for it to recycle and rethink. So one of the things that our engineering staff has been looking at is taking advantage of interlocking to interlocking type signaling characteristics. So that way, maybe we could enter in like a special code. So that way, when we actually enter in a single tracking type of event and stuff, then the system itself would recalculate. And within that certain block, you would know the time frame within those stations and stuff of what was taking place. It's something that we've just embarked upon because we've been noticing that as well and trying to figure out what the best thing is to do in the immediate, you know, function short of going with something that's a little bit more robust than what we have at this time. But that's what we are targeting at this time.
Could I suggest that at the minimum we tell our customers what's going on so that they don't have to scratch their head when they get into a station and see that the PID is in effect blank?
Yeah.
And if it's an expectation going forward that it's going to be that way, we ought to tell people why.
Yeah.
You know, and that we're trying to find a solution for it. But there's a lot of confusion about what's actually going on, and customers don't need to be confused. At least we can tell them the minimal kind of information about what's going on.
Being out there firsthand watching this single tracking and stuff transitioning, a couple of things that we're looking at. One is, you know, the straightforward signage as the customers and stuff are walking into the station and stuff to understand what's taking place. Another thing is we've had some success with some of our station managers utilizing our public address system. All of the ones now are below ground are equipped with like a remote mic and everything else. And so what they have is they have the ability to make announcements localized at their respective stations. So we're looking at utilizing our station managers and getting them involved in this a little bit better. So that way they're part of the overall process. So that way it's not only just the line management that understands what's taking place, but the information is getting into the operators as well as the station managers, you know, hands as well to be, you know, part of this effort.
Any other comments?
One follow-up on that. Obviously, customers are frustrated when we have to close down stations and have to take a bus and whatnot. But one of the things that was sent around 2, 3, 4 weeks ago was a video that was really amazing. I think Mort sent around a second note saying you got to look at this, and I did. And it showed, you know, what your team did in I guess it was a 48-hour period over the weekend, and sped up so that you saw everything. You know, in 1 minute, you saw what they did in 48 hours, and it was incredible, absolutely incredible to watch. I hope our communications staff will try to get our friends in the media to put that, you know, that ought to be on TV. People ought to see what's actually going on, because it's A, it's neat to watch it, and B, it's incredibly impressive. What, you know, okay, it's closed for 2 days and they're working on something, they're doing something. This shows what they're actually doing and how it's done. It's an extraordinary thing to watch.
Thank you. Ms. Hutchins.
I would like to just kind of also echo that communications piece. I spent some time with the Riders Advisory, and they are a very great group of folks that work well with us and are an asset for us. But there is a disconnect as to what we're doing and what that accomplishment means to their ongoing service versus what they experience. And I was a little surprised in parts of the discussion. And it's sort of these kinds of messages that we have to keep. And I know you're wanting to keep up with them. But the investments that are being made and the benefits that we're reaping from them are most often invisible. And yet they're critical to do. And somewhere we need to be able to have people understand that. Because our prior discussion about budget and fares is a difficult one to have if you've been on the train and it's just not working well for your experience. But we know the investments that we're making are long-term investments, and they have an institutional piece that is making the system better. So somewhere that these examples and others are the ones that I think we have to hang our hats on, but we just have to find as much
if I might add, we do appreciate the positive feedback on the video, because there was a lot of people very nervous for us to release something like that, and we went ahead and just said we thought it was pretty informative, and it was very helpful. And so with that, I think that's spawned a lot of other creative ideas on what we can do, from pictures to messaging to, you know, maybe being able to put out, you know, our side of the story a little bit, you know, to say, you know, this is why we're doing those things. And I know working with communications with Barbara's staff and everything else, there's some good energy, and I think you'll start seeing a lot more visual aids.
I would say that there is more than a kernel of truth in this morning's Tom Tolles cartoon in the Post. And to the extent that we could stand some self-criticism is that we have not aggressively told a positive story going forward about why all of what this is doing for the writer. And if there is an assumption in the public's mind that this fare increase is to ensure the status quo, then we're all in trouble, and we're losing the faith and trust of our writer. We all have to have a story here that is coherent and compelling, and my sense is, from the customer standpoint, we don't. And we need to think about that as we go forward about the budget.
Yeah, I just wanted to, that was the point I was trying to make initially, was that there's some things we can do that don't cost any money to let people know how much we appreciate the passengers and what they've done, and things we can do to try to make it a more pleasant experience for them. So I would encourage all of us from the board, out every employee, to do that, and just let people know we appreciate it and be as courteous as we can, and I think that'll benefit us in the long run, quite honestly.
There's almost an ad campaign there. That concludes the regular agenda for customer service and operations. If there's anyone who would like to add an item to the agenda, this would be the time. The only other thing that I would ask us in
we have a safety and security meeting in 2 weeks, and we have scheduled some discussion on events and incidents that have happened over the last couple of weeks, as we've done in the past. I don't know if General Manager Van has speak on now or hold it for 2 weeks.
The only thing I would ask as an information item is the rail service criteria. We were going to do it, I think, in December, and then we were going to do it in January, and I don't see it as a proposal on the February docket yet. If it's February or March, I'd appreciate it.
As I mentioned to you, we're going to meet with the JCC on that in their early February meeting to go over that, and then what comes out of that, then we can decide how we go to the next step.
Bring some recommendations to the board or this committee.
There'll be more status report at that point on where we are in
March,
February.
Okay.
February for the JCC, and then we can report
March
back to you.
For this committee?
Yeah.
Okay. That concludes the work of the Customer Service and Operations Committee, and it's adjourned.